Son, and the Holy Spirit, Christ is in our midst.
He is and shall be.
We're all familiar with various forms of people's blindness. Of course, physically is one thing, but we can think of all the people who, for whatever reason, are unable to see themselves clearly. Some examples, I remember in seminary there was parents arguing about their children, and the parents with the children with behavioral issues often couldn't see it. They were completely blind to it. In relationships, we often see that people are completely unable to see their part in the downfall of any given relationship. They just simply can't see it. There are people in all aspects of life that we've been around that not only are they unable to see it, but somehow, and nonetheless, even though they can't see clearly, they seem to present themselves as experts. They seem to, I've met people who are very arrogant, and when you try to explain something, they couldn't understand it, but they were arrogant and they knew best. This is, of course, an icon of blindness that we see in today's gospel, in particular with the Pharisees. And we'll get there. But this blindness is, and John writes in this gospel about this blindness, for one reason, because it is an icon of the human condition. The human condition is finite. It is created, and it's very local. We do not have a universal experience or a universal mind. We do not see all things. We are in time, and we are finite. And so often, we are very blind because all we see is finite. And then, let's add on top of that the spiritual blindness, our inability to see clearly spiritually, to discern what's really going on around us or how things or what's affecting us. These are the things that John talks about and using this man who was born blind, because we're all, to some extent, born blind. We're born blind, and in our sins we cannot see clearly, and ultimately we need a physician to come and heal us, to help us see. Now, there is no sin in being born blind. Today, the disciples will discuss, next to a man who was born blind, they'll discuss that, what? Whose sin caused this? But our Lord says there was no sin that caused it. And so, it is not necessarily a sin to be spiritually blind. When we go out into the world and we encounter people who are pagan or other types of Christians or who are living lifestyles that are not necessarily in line with the Christian faith, now certainly there are aspects of their lifestyles that may be sinful, and their blindness leads them into that sin. But in some sense, who can blame them for being blind? Because they were born blind. But there is a difference in today's gospel between the man who was born blind and those who choose blindness, who out of their presuppositions and out of their decision to embrace their own ideology are impervious to facts and to truth. As one commentator said, they don't want to be bothered with the facts. They've come to their conclusion. And what they're presented with was a man who was healed by Jesus in a unique way. And this man, born blind, presents himself. He argues on his own behalf. He talks about how he was healed. He says Jesus is a prophet. And they go and get his parents because they don't trust him. The parents, out of fear, simply say, talk to his son, he's old enough. And he reiterates the story. But the point, somewhere in that story, they begin to say, give God the glory. In other words, they actually want this man to deny that Jesus had any part of his healing. They would rather he lie about how it happened. They would rather he say anything about it and how it happened than to actually attribute it to Jesus, who came and anointed his eyes. The man even claims ignorance. It doesn't matter. Give God the glory, in a sense, is another way of saying that make it so that God somehow miraculously healed you out of nowhere, because we want nothing to do with this man, Jesus. And that is a sort of willing blindness that is John spends a lot of time in his gospel commenting about. In the beginning of the gospel, he says one of the great sins of humankind is that the light came, and then oftentimes we prefer the darkness to the light, that we would rather stay in the darkness than to actually pursue the light. How can that be? How can we not want to walk into the light? Well, you see, walking into the light implies that we will lose something. And there's a few examples of this in today's epistles. Today, the Apostle Paul casts out a demon of a particular woman. And it says that her relatives' parents were very upset about this. They actually wanted her to have the demon. They wanted her to be possessed, because it was for profit. They were going to get a profit out of this, as a soothsayer, however we could interpret that. So our Apostle Paul heals her and brings her to her right mind. And yet, the consideration of profit is more important. For the Pharisees, as the religious rulers and authorities, they are the ones that should see most clearly. They are the ones that should be attuned to be able to proclaim that the Messiah has come. And one of the polemics, arguments that's presented in all of the Gospels is this idea that somehow the Samaritan woman of last week's Gospel sees clearer than the religious authorities, who should know, are given the prophecies. It is the Magi who come and worship Jesus in the manger cave. It is the simple shepherds out in the field who have the revelation of the angels. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, so to speak, the Sanhedrin prepares in council to put to death the Christ. Not at the same time, of course, but in the future. And so we're presented with this contrast. And this contrast is all based on a type of ignorance, a type of blindness that is sinful. And that is willful blindness. The Apostle Paul went blind this week in today's epistle. He went blind because he thought he could see. And as he went around persecuting the church, the light of this world came and blinded him, until the scales were removed from his eyes when Ananias puts his hands on him. And he's able to see clearly because he has seen the Christ. He has seen our Lord. The Pharisees' willing blindness in today's gospel is something that we, each and every one of us, does in some aspect of our life. There are simply some things about ourselves or about others that we do not want to see. We do not want to understand, and we have developed defenses in order so that we will not see them. And we would love to think that the world would convert, or that we could be converted by simple logic, or that somehow someone could illumine us and show us. But if we don't want to see it, even if someone were to come out and point it out, we would wrap ourselves in our own coping mechanisms to avoid the realities. We see this every day, of course, in the political realm. This is the way the world works, is to see other people's sins and not to see our own. And this is precisely the type of blindness that is considered very sinful. Because if we're willfully blind, if we're blind to the point where we can't accept, and that if we're arrogant to the point where we can't accept that we're wrong, then we'll never seek a physician. The blind man needed a physician. Various people that are healed in the Gospels all needed physicians, and our Lord came and healed them. In the arrogance of blindness, if we're arrogant about our blind spots, we will never seek healing. And not only will we never seek healing, but we'll proclaim ourselves as somehow authoritative, somehow above the need for healing. Much of the Christian life is meant to be spent in the humble acknowledgement and that we are weak and that we need help. That we are blind, that we can't see our lives clearly. That we actually need someone to come and open our eyes. This is actually the day-to-day experience of how we should form ourselves. We don't have it together. We don't really know what's going on. We don't know what might be spiritually good for us. We don't know how to respond to the various circumstances in life. And left to our own devices, we usually will choose our sinful ways. We'll choose our opinion. We'll choose our way of doing things versus probably the way Christ would have us do it. And so we're called today to remember this blind man who is a symbol of our blindness. He's a symbol of our baptism and our illumination as he dunks his face in the pool of Siloam. And at the end, it says that he sees Christ. In today's epistle, we see that Paul sees Christ. And it is in seeing Christ that we are healed and that we find real direction, that we find real sight. This is the goal of the Christian life, is to empty ourselves of our blindness and to find and to, in the light of Christ, to actually see reality. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Christ is risen.
He is risen.